was going to go another direction and start a series. Years ago, I'd done a message series on the kingdom of God. Powerful stuff. And I was going to go take that and go further with it. But the Lord brought me back to just some real basic stuff. Basic, I think, but it's powerful for today. And so we're going to go into the Word tonight and do some teaching. And we'll be, if you're one that likes to flip with me in the Bible, we're going to be all over the place. But maybe you like to jot down things and write down scriptures, you can do that too, because it'll be helpful to you. I know it will be. But I want to share with you and I about, I'm just going to simply title it Faith, because I believe we're an hour and a time. I was talking to a brother in the Lord the other day, and he said, I need you to pray, Pastor. He said, I need more faith. And anytime someone says that to me, I immediately know, no, you need teaching is what you need. Because you know what you need more than faith is revelation. The only way that you and I get more faith is to have better and greater revelation. That's it. You know, you meaning to have a better understanding. And so the Bible says that you and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but the Bible says that we're saved by faith, right? And so the same level of faith that we had when we got saved will not sustain us after a period of time, right? It grows and it manifests. And so it took a certain amount of faith to believe God for salvation. And if you look back over our lives, there are things that you and I've had to believe God for that have taken what would seem as a greater amount of faith, more. You look back over your life and you're thinking, I remember when I struggled to believe God for that. Right? Maybe now there's probably some things, if we'd all be honest, there's some things that we do struggle to believe God for right now. But you have a greater level and more intensity of faith than often you realize. And so I want to go down this road with you tonight and really begin with, the Bible really talks to us about faith, but then the Bible also talks about a gift of faith. And they're two very different things. And there are times where you and I oftentimes need to be praying and say, God, I need a release of the gift of faith. Hear me now. There are some things that if you've ever lived in your life and endured something, you may have experienced, and it's one of those situations that knock the wind out of you, and it takes you a little time to recover. You know, news, bad news, whether it's from a doctor or a person or a job or whatever, it'll sort of shock you. Those are times when I've said, God, I know I don't have enough faith for this. And so I need you to release the gift of faith in me. And we're going to find that in the Word. And it's about understanding the difference. Some of the things that our church is about to dive into is going to require a release of the gift of faith. I'm telling you. And more than just me. We've got to believe God like we've never believed God before. And so I want to begin all of this with saying that back in discipleship class, and I know a lot of you here didn't get to take that class, but when I teach discipleship class and we do a section on the gifts of the Spirit, something that every church should be teaching, and if you're not in a church that's teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, find another church. I believe that. Because we need the moving of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think now more than ever and more often and more frequently than we often see. It's true. We absolutely need them for the building up of God's people, right? And so in that series, I talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and the Bible says that there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're broken into like vocal gifts, revelation gifts, and power gifts, right? And in the power gifts, they list faith, healing, and miracles. And the reason I want to begin with this part of it is because that I think it's really important to begin with this, is these gifts of the Holy Spirit enable us to supernaturally speak. They enable us to supernaturally know, don't miss this, and enable you and I to supernaturally do. The gifts of the Spirit, those power gifts that I just called them, faith, healing, and miracles. They help you and I to supernaturally speak, supernaturally know, and supernaturally do. Meaning, outside of our own power and strength. Meaning, there are times where when we're in a spirit-filled service, that there will be, God will just supernaturally do something, or we'll be at an altar service, and God will use a man or woman of God to speak something to you supernaturally. I mean, it had to come from God. And where you're done and you're like, man, I know that was God because there's no way they knew what they just told me, right? And yet God wants to move in every one of our individual lives in that same manner so that we can supernaturally speak, supernaturally know, and supernaturally do. That's important now more than ever. The world is crazy and the church needs some stability. And you know what I found is that I can get crazy too. I found that if I listen more to the news or what's on social media, it makes me have anxiety. Like I need to go to the doctor and get a crazy pill because I'm feeling what they're putting out. Are you hearing me? And so what we need now more than ever is the gifts of the Spirit to supernaturally help us to speak, supernaturally know, and supernaturally do. We need that for absolute. All right, so we're going to get into the Word of God. Get your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians 12 if you have them. As you're getting ready to turn there, I want you to understand about faith. I'm going to do my best to lay this foundation tonight. And as we go through it, you're going to learn things about faith that are going to blow your mind. And I firmly believe that you're going to be able to believe God for things and you're going to see God do things that you have never thought possible. I believe that. As I was prepping for just when God turned everything around, Monday I thought I was going to teach on the kingdom. And then by Monday night, I knew it was going to be faith. And as I started listening from the Lord, he reminded me, I'll share this story with you. It's a true story because I witnessed it. And why I think faith is so important. I was under a pastor for a period of time, and we were in service. We were getting ready to go into service, but he wasn't feeling good all that day. Some of you are going to be like, this is crazy, and it is. We were getting, he just wasn't feeling good. And all of a sudden, his stomach was really bothering him. And a couple hours before church, his wife noticed there was a spot on his shirt. Suddenly, we realized that his stomach had opened up, literally a hole. He had ruptured. And when his wife and him went to the bedroom to try to see what in the world was going on, she said, Adam, come here, you're never going to believe this. Here there was parts of his insides outside. Now, watch this. This is the kind of man he was, and I knew then, I'm like, I need to be more like him. I said, well, we got to get to the hospital. And his wife looked at me, and I looked at her, and she looked at me like, you got to be kidding. And anyway, he looked at me, and he says, no, we're not. He said, I believe in God more than this. And he said, I've got an assignment tonight. And I said, I understand. He said, I said, but everybody there is going to understand that you can't preach. He's like, no. So his wife bandaged him up. We went to church. While he is getting up to preach, like I did this beginning of the service, he got up and we introduced him. He got up and instantly the gift of faith began to operate. And he says, I don't know about anybody else. He said, but I need a miracle. He said, how many of you can believe that God's going to do miracles? And I was just like, okay, whatever. Like, we're going to the hospital, so hurry it up. You know? I'm not kidding you. I was sitting in the front, and that's exactly what I thought. We go through service. We have church. And, I mean, he is praying for people and shouting and jumping and all kind of stuff. I'm thinking, this is not good. Like, I was concerned. So by the time service is over and God had moved mightily that night, didn't know anything yet about what God may or may not have done. We get done and we get back to the offices and it's me and a few of the other leaders and whatnot. And he said, Adam, he said, do you believe that God is a healer? And I said, yeah, I said, I believe that. He said, he looked at the other leaders, he says, how many of you really believe what you witnessed tonight? And they're like, yeah, you know, we saw God doing healings. And so he said, Adam, tell them what was wrong with me before church. Now, mind you, he is still bandaged up. We don't know anything. And I told them what had happened. I said his stomach ruptures. There was a hole in his stomach, literally. I said it was bad, and I explained in detail to them, which I'll spare you the details. He said, now I want to let you know, he said, the minute that I took the platform, he said, I felt the power of God shoot through my body. And he said, at that moment, when I took the platform and said that I need a miracle, He said, I knew that God did something. He said, now I'm going to see if what I felt is what happened. I thought, now mind you, he had not been alone at all up to this point. He goes to the office. He lifts up his shirt. His wife pulls back that bandage. That rupture is gone. I mean, totally gone. There was no evidence. It was just a little, not little red. It was pretty red. But you could see something was not right. It looked almost like a boil had been there, all right? But it wasn't. I mean, it was closed. And I mean to tell you, it was one of the first times that I realized when people say to me now that I have crazy faith, that's why. Those were the kinds of men that were I was surrounded by as a kid and growing up in ministry. My spiritual father is one of those crazy men of faith that when God told him to build on and their church was broke, he busted a hole in the wall and said, now we're going to build on. He took a step of faith when there was no money in the checkbook to do it. And those are the kind of people that I was surrounded about all the time. And so it taught me to be a person of faith and believe God for extraordinary things. You and I, that same level of faith is available to you and I, and that's what God is talking about in the Word. A lot of times we're struggling to believe God for $20, and God wants you and I to believe Him for instantaneous results, all right? Instantaneous miracles. Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. Now, let me define the gift of faith first, and then I promise we're going to read this. Here's how I define the gift of faith. It's lengthy, but I want you to try to receive it, all right? The gift of faith, I define it as a special endowment given to someone called upon to exercise an extraordinary capacity of trust. That's good right there. To enable someone to accomplish God's purpose despite every contradictory circumstance of life. Don't miss that part. That's good. It is to accomplish God's purpose despite every contradicting circumstance in life. That's what the gift of faith does. To deny what you might see with your eye, what you might hear with your ear, all right? Because the gift of faith is beyond your five senses. Faith does not operate within what you see, hear, smell, taste, touch at all. And a lot of times the church, most church people, I'll go as far as to say Sunday morning church people, and that's just the truth, operate in faith that has to do with their senses. And my friend, that is not faith. If you can see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, feel it, you don't need faith. That's reality. It's there, right? You don't need faith just to sit on that chair, do you? Because you can see that it's there, right? Exactly. But yet we often try to operate in that realm. Let me continue with my definition. It's God supernaturally empties that you and I of any doubts and fills us with a special faith, what we call a gift of faith. All right, 1 Corinthians 12. Isn't that what I said? Thank you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7? I'm going to read tonight I'm going to stick with the Expositor Study Bible. It's a King James Version, but we'll probably use some Amplified maybe in the weeks to come a little bit, but look at this in verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given for profit withal, for to one is given for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and by the same Spirit to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, to all these work that one in itself and the same Spirit, dividing in every man as he will. For as the body is one and as many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. Look at that verse 9 where it says, to another faith by the same Spirit. That's where we start. We'll see other examples in the Word of God, but that's where we're going to start seeing the example of the gift of faith, which is, remember, it's different than just faith. All right? Faith is how you and I got saved, but it is the gift of faith that's going to get you and I through some difficult times. Now, jump over to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to show this to you. 1 Corinthians 13, just verses 1 and 2. Look what this says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or tingling cymbals. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and understand all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I am nothing. Look how it says there in verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and understand all knowledge, and though I have all faith. When it's talking about having all faith, if I have all faith, that is the gift of faith. All right? The gift of faith. All faith. All right? Let me put it in another way for you. All faith, or this gift of faith, is faith in the absolute sense. All right, faith in the absolute, meaning there's no mixture of doubt in it. How many have ever believed God, said you were believing God, but there was a little doubt mixed in there? Right? We'll be praying for something. It's happened to me, you know, whether it's personal or something with somebody else, or you're praying for something. You know, we could be praying for your husband, and maybe doubt comes in, right? Or we're praying for any number of things. And you can pray and feel confident in the moving and the word of God when you're in church. And you go out, and then it'll just take a thought to enter your mind, and you begin to operate in doubt. Instant. The gift of faith it operates without any doubt at all. It's that supernaturally knowing we talked about right in the very beginning. It enables you and I to supernaturally know, supernaturally do, right? All of those things. That's the gift of faith, all right? No mixture of doubt within it. It's what the Bible says right there, all faith. And though having all faith, or another way of looking at it is God's faith. Do you realize what I'm trying to get you to begin to understand as we just take the beginning steps into this little mini-series, is that the gift of faith is literally, when you and I ask God for it, that is God releasing to you what he has, right? It is you and I saying, I'm believing God without any doubt, with any dilution, you know, without any of those things. It's total faith, right? It's absolute faith. Am I making sense anyway? Okay. All right, the gift of faith. All right. So what's the purpose then of it? If we were to say, well, there's a difference between faith and the gift of faith, then I want to try to make it understood to you, then what is the purpose then of the gift of faith? And that's where we're going to go. I want to move into that a little bit, and we'll share a couple more scriptures with you. The purpose of it. Because there's going to come a time, I mentioned it just lightly, there's going to come a time in our lives where there's going to be tasks and things that we're dealing with, things that God's going to even call us to. Things that happen in our life that are going to require more faith than what you and I have. There's just, life works that way. And especially on our journey with God, there are things that we're going to come in contact with in situations that we didn't create ourselves, but we're often the recipient of, or we're the person dealing with it, that are going to require more faith than what we have. If you've ever been one of those people who have had a roller coaster ride in your faith walk, I know what that's like. Where we get hot and cold with God. We're on fire, and then we're not so much on fire or any of those things. This is where the gift of faith is needed, all right? And more than that, it's bringing people to a greater revelation, all right? To a greater revelation, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But there are things that we're going to endure and things that we're going to go through that are going to require more faith than what we have, all right? So what ends up happening, when God's talking about in the Word that we were just reading, that all faith, or that gift of faith, this is when God's going to add faith to you and I. There's going to be release of the gift of faith to you and I to believe him for it, all right? And what's the purpose of it? The purpose of the gift of faith, then, is to get you and I through. It's to get you and I through whatever the will of God is for our life. It's to bring us through, because there's times we're going to get news or doctor's reports or whatever. We're going to endure something that we're thinking, how am I ever going to get through? And if you and I will dare and believe and ask God for the gift of faith, then, and he releases that to you, it's going to enable you and I to get through. Because we need to remember something, that God possesses things that he wants to release to us. All right? Not just things, but such as you know, material things. I'm talking about faith, the gift of faith. When God sees the world that we're living in, or what we're dealing with individually, crumbling around us, God's in the heavens desiring that you and I would say, Lord, give me a release of the gift of faith, you know. Because God wants to release to you whatever he has. Several weeks ago when I was doing that series on the Good Shepherd, and I was sharing with you about, as a parent, we want to give our children everything that we can, right? We want to do the best that we can, right? And so the same is how God is, where he wants to release to you and I what he has. And so if God sees you and I struggling to live through life or to break free from depression or to get over some sickness or disease or diagnosis, right? God's in the heavens saying, I wish you'd get the revelation, Adam, that all you got to do is ask me to release the gift of faith in you. What is the gift of faith? Remember, it's his faith. It's directly from from God himself. I wish you would get the revelation that all you got to do is ask me for this, right? To bring the release. Because God does not look upon you and I and desire to see a struggle, right? Even his word says, above all, he desires that what? You prosper and be in good health. He wants you to prosper in every area of your life, meaning not having to live in worry, fear, anger, regret, strife, none of those things. Prosperity is in every aspect of your life that there would be success. And so this gift of faith gets you and I through and to bring about and to walk in the will of God or whatever the assignment from God is, because God has an assignment for each of us. The difference between people who are fulfilling their call and people who are not is those that understand that there's an assignment on their life, every one of us. Not just pastors and fivefold ministers are called. Everybody is. When you and I join the body of Christ and repent of our sins and become a part of the family of God, everyone has some kind of call in their life, called to do something. And when you understand that you have an assignment from heaven, then you and I can understand and take it more seriously by saying, Lord, I need a release of the gift of faith to fulfill that call and to fulfill that purpose. All right? Lois looks confused. I hope I'm making sense. The beginning of a series is always hard because it's like, you know, God, there's so much you want to lay out and make it understood, and so it becomes more, it's challenging for at least the teacher, at least me sometimes anyway. Hallelujah. Just one of those days. The gift of faith. We're going to receive it. All right? Now, I want to say this, and then I want to show you in comparison just faith, general faith, I'll call it. But the gift of faith is not something that's resident in you and I all the time, like faith is. You know how I said earlier, your faith sort of comes and goes, right? Like right now you're sitting here and you got blood pulsating through your veins and arteries. That's resident in you all the time. If it's not, you've got problems, right? The gift of faith is not something that you're just walking around like with, all right? It is something that you and I we're asking of. That's why it's called the gift of faith, where God will release it to you as a gift, as needed. I'm going to tell you, come Sunday afternoon, come Sunday morning, when we begin to unleash the beast in this place, and I begin to share with you where God is taking us and what directions are happening and the big things that are taking place, some of y'all better have prayed for the gift of faith, because you're going to need it. I'm telling you. I'm just giving you a heads up. Sister's like, okay, I'm going to do it, right? And I'm telling you to do that because I'm going to need some of you to hold up my arms whenever mine's running low and when I'm having to hear all the negativity and the naysayers and everything else, right? I'm believing God. And so you need to say, God, I need a gift of faith. God, give me a gift of faith that, Lord, when I hear that I receive it in my spirit. Right. And of course, and then I'll even tell you this, and then dare do this. Then tell God, Lord, if it's not of you, tell me that too. Because see, I'm bold enough to believe, God, if what the pastor's going to share with us Sunday is crazy, tell me that it's crazy and not of you. That's how much I believe in what God's going to do. See, I'm bold like that. I'll call myself out. So I'm giving everyone full disclosure. If you feel like I've went crazy and I've lost my mind and it's not of God, they can stand up and say no right in the middle of it. All right? I know David will. If he thinks it, he'll do it. Right? Now, and I'm challenging you with this because that's how much I believe in the Word of God. And I know that it works. You've heard me say the Word works if you work the Word. And we need this special faith for specific tasks sometimes in our life, all right, to further his purpose and to accomplish what it is he needs us to get done. Now, the difference between that special faith or the gift of faith and general faith, all right, general faith or faith, as we call it, is the faith we live by, the faith we got saved by, the faith that we pray and ask God anything, all right, and that it shall be done. Not the gift of faith, but the general faith, I'll say. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans 1, verse 17. Hallelujah. And then we're going to jump over to Hebrews 11, and then back to Romans 12, just to give you a heads up. Praise God. Romans 1:17, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Uh-huh. The general faith, day-to-day faith, faith that's always in us, right? Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is that general faith again. The first scripture is sort of a faith that we live by. This is talking about a faith that we would even die by. Mm-hmm. And then Romans 12, I wanted to bring this one up. Romans 12, verse 3. It's familiar to you and I. I know you've heard it. Romans 12, verse 3. For look, it says, I say, through the grace given unto me to every man who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. That right there in Romans 12 is talking about that measure of faith, that it took a measure of faith for you and I each to get saved, right? That's why I said earlier it takes an amount of faith when you get saved, but we can't stay sustained in what we're doing and what we're believing God for on that level of faith, right? We grow that faith. That faith grows over time. How does that faith grow over time? As we understand more about who God is and what God can do, right? Doesn't your faith increase when you see God do something extraordinary? If you see someone get healed, when you see the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, I've seen naysayers about the gifts, and then they see them operate, and then they're like, man. We were in discipleship class, and some of the people in that discipleship class had never witnessed the gifts of the Spirit moving, like tongues specifically, I think it was, right? And anyway, I think that Sunday, someone had given a message in tongues. And some of them were newbie Christians. And it just so happened that we had a class that for the week before, and we talked about speaking in tongues. Come that next Sunday, a message in tongues come forward and interpretation. And actually, it may have been Amy that did it. And so then the next week's class come, and Diana and several of them are like, man, that was awesome. Pastor, I get what you were talking about. Like, that's phenomenal how God does that, blah, 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 blah. I mean, the whole, like, 45 minutes of the class, her and several others were talking about just how awesome God is and how they were able to witness with their eyes something that we were showing them in the Word. But it was by them seeing that in operation that brought the revelation to say, I got it, all right? That's why I'm saying to you, while your faith is increased often by what you see, by what is revealed to you, all right? And so that's a lot of what it is to do with our walk with God. God is always trying to reveal himself to you and I more and more. But are we paying attention? He'll do it through a midweek teaching like this, or he'll do it through a song service. He'll do it through, I mean, I've had God speak to me through TV commercials. The weirdest stuff. I'll be watching a TV commercial on oil, you know, or it could be anything. And the Lord will speak like a title of a message. I'm like, write that down, you know. Or, anything, you know. God will speak because he's always trying to reveal himself to us so that we can have a greater understanding and revelation. Amen. In other words, God wants you and I to develop our faith. God don't want us to maintain faith like a baby Christian. All right? God doesn't want us to stay there. God wants you to continuously be growing that faith and making it more and more. What do I mean? He wants you to develop your faith to the place where it's easy, watch this, to trust God. It should be easy to trust God. Oftentimes, oftentimes it's easier for people, let me clarify this. Oftentimes I see that people in church make it seems easier for them to put their faith and trust in people who have let them down and lied to them and betrayed them, come on, than they do with God. God, who has never let you down only because you didn't get the answer when you wanted it or it didn't work out the same way, but when you finally come through it, you realize God knew what was best. He brought me through when he needed to, how he needed to, and I'm grateful and thankful. God wants you and I to have the kind of faith, listen to what I just said, he wants you and I to have the faith, the kind of faith where it becomes easy for you and I to trust in God. Where it don't matter what's going on, we just trust him. Where there's not going to be doubt that enters our mind. Is it possible to live there? Yes. It is. When your general faith that we're talking about, and you understand the gift of faith and how to just say, God, I need a gift of faith right now. Because you don't want to run your faith on empty, right? Let me sort of try to give it an illustration. Your car has a radiator, and your car has a reserve, right, David? If the radiator runs out, the reserve will flow, am I right, David? Will flow into the radiator to keep your engine cool. Now, if you let them both dry up, like Cindy probably would, we in trouble. It's going to overheat. I've done that, actually. Get too busy, not paying attention, had a GMC Jimmy, and that sucker smoked and smoked and smoked. I thought, what's it wrong? Well, turns out, you know, you got to keep up on that stuff. Your gift of faith is the reserve for your radiator. Your faith is like the water, the antifreeze that's already in the radiator. It's just there. When that runs low, it will pull from the reserve or the gift of faith. Are you hearing me? That's how easy it is. It is you saying, God, I'm up against it right now, but I received the gift of faith in my life to get me through this. Whew, there it is. God wants you to trust him like that. Where God needs you to understand. And the reason it operates that way, I believe, is because it's not about us. It's us continually going back to God, who is our resource. It is all about him. It is not, oh, look how big my faith is. You know, that's why people will often make comments about how I can believe God for anything. You better believe it. Because I have. I've prayed to God for some of the biggest, craziest, unbelievable things. Sunday, I'm going to show you physically. Physically, you're going to see the evidence of some of the things we believe God for. This church is about to celebrate its 10th anniversary. This church plan. I've done 6 of them. This church is 10 years old in June. And I'm going to show you physically with your eye everything we believe God for. and received. All right? That's not because I have great faith. That's because we serve a great, good shepherd, mighty God, who takes care of you and I. What did the word say in Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Prove me otherwise. Because I'm going to prove to you Sunday that that's who he is. I just love it. Just love the word of God. I'm telling you, faith. He wants you and I to find it easy to trust him. Easy to trust him. Because he knows what's best. He wants us to develop and use our faith, all right? Develop and use it. Remember, the word of God says all things are possible to him that believe. Faith requires that you and I believe. All things are possible to him who believe. All right? Manifestation follows faith. Get what I just said? Manifestation follows faith, meaning you're going to see it happen after you believe. You got to believe God and then just watch it happen. There have been so many times in my life where I've had to believe God blindly for something that I knew that he said, all right, to do, something I knew that needed to be accomplished. You and I need to hear that and receive that. That it is your that manifestation always follows faith. So you're gonna it's required that you believe God, and then you expect it to show up later. All right, it's gonna show up later. You're the manifestation of it. Also, miracles follow faith. I've heard some people, and people make the comment, "Oh, I'll believe it when I see it." No, you got to believe it and then see it. That's how faith in God operates, right? You've got to believe it and then it comes to be said. We have a habit of even using that phrase in our day-to-day living, "I'll believe it when I see it." That is not faith speaking. I've learned that, all right? We're all guilty of saying something like that, right? That I believe things about Lois when I see it, right? But really, faith, when it comes to, you know, people in your life, people in your circle, you and I need to be speaking faith. Because by me saying, "I'll believe it when I see it," I'm saying I'm being controlled by doubt. Meaning doubt is ruling my life, not faith. And we are a people of faith. The very foundation of who we are, what we believe, the God that we serve, it's all faith. You got saved on faith, you're going to get healed on faith. You're going to have a financial breakthrough on faith. Every aspect of what we're believing God for and doing, it's faith. And so you're going to see the manifestation after, but faith has to be first, right? It has to be first. Believe in God above all things. Amen. When it comes to faith, I want to make this bold statement that you can get everything God has for you and everything that Christ died for you. Everything that Christ died to give you through faith. Listen to what I'm telling you. You can get everything that God has for you, and you can get everything that Christ died to give you through faith. Man, we are so bad as Christians at getting, you know, the hot things from God. Salvation, baptism, maybe the gifts of the Spirit, you know. Maybe we'll dare to trust him for a miracle. But everything else, we go to the bank for. We go here for. We go there for, right? We're not trusting God for everything. Everything, right? And I'm not saying we don't need to go to Walmart, all right? That's not what I'm saying. Then we're just going to believe it's going to show up on the doorstep. What I'm saying is there's a lot of things that we always have a plan B for that faith demands that there is no plan B. Mm-hmm. If you apply for credit and you get denied, well, you got a backup plan, right? And it's a cosigner or whatever that may be, right? And God's saying, no, trust me. Right? We often always put a plan B in place, and God says, no, I am your source. I'm to be your resource. I want you and I to really consider that and think that. That's the reason that we serve God. That's the reason Christ died on the cross, to give you and I all of these things that often we talk about, we worship about, we pray about, but yet we dare not believe him for. And God is available to you and I for so much more than what we limit him to. Yeah, salvation is great and wonderful, and I'm thankful for it. but he is available for so much more. That's why the Bible describes him in such so many marvelous ways. When I did that series on the Good Shepherd, to describe him in that manner to help you and I understand that there's a depth to God that we've not yet reached. Right? There's a greater understanding of who he is, that he's walking with you and I daily, that he cares to that degree, that he's closer than a brother. He's the bright and morning star, right? The lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. You know, we can go on and on. And each of them have something specific and unique as a way of just touching our lives, but us understanding him more. And so if you and I would have the faith to believe him in all of these areas, you'll be blown away at how he's going to move in your life. He's going to move extraordinary. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. Look at that. Because your faith grows exceedingly, exceedingly. It should be growing leaps and bounds, our faith, as we're immersed in God. I know way too many people who are in church and go to church, and their faith is the same as it was when I met them. They're not any deeper in God. They're not believing God for anything greater. You know, he's just a guy in the sky. We'll sing a song to and show up to church. Hear a cute little message. I am so serious. And yet they've not come to the understanding that he is always there. They've not yet come to the understanding that they can go to God. And I talk to God like I would if I was sitting down with you with a cup of coffee. Y'all see me with coffee all the time. And if you see me with coffee, it's because I'm talking to God. That's no joke. I'll walk around through here with the coffee. I was here the other day trying to fix a computer that I couldn't fix, and I was talking to God. I said, God, now you know I don't much like things like this going wrong. I said, God, you know I'm going to lose my temper on this. You know? God, help me. God, strengthen me. I'm serious because I've understood that my relationship with God is like that. Right? If I can go and sit down and have coffee or a latte or whatever it is people do nowadays with a human being, I can do that with God. And he understands him and he loves me. And so if I got a cup of coffee in my hand, it's because I'm praying. Doesn't mean you can't talk to me. You just need to see that as like, he's having coffee with God today. Because I'm for real. You need to understand that's my relationship with God. It is very much he and I. I'm not driving in that car alone. He is there because I'm talking to him the whole way here, right? If I'm driving, I'm talking to him. That's the relationship I have. I don't isolate my relationship with God to a 5-minute prayer in the morning and a 6-minute prayer at night. No, I'm talking to him continuously, on and off. Like I'll leave. I was at Walmart the other day, and then I said, Lord, I'm never going to go to Walmart. And where did I go today? Walmart. The reason I said I'd never go back to Walmart, I was in Walmart, and it just is one of those places that gets to me. And a lady hit me with her motorized cart. I mean, hit me full force. And I was just like, it was in that moment I said, God, I need more than the gift of faith right now. It was one of those moments where you want to come up out of yourself, and then you look down and you're like, Lord, I need to give her grace and mercy. Like you gave me, you know, and I just melted to the floor, you know, in that moment. Lord, how do I have any right to get angry with her? Because you didn't get angry with me, right? I received your grace and your mercy. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Anyway, he wants our faith to grow exceedingly. David hears me. All right. We got to increase our faith. How do we increase our faith? Man, time is like running out on me. Okay. I'll share this with you. How do we increase our faith? And then we'll probably have to wrap it up because I didn't realize it was getting so late. How do we increase our faith? Romans 10, verse 17. You know this scripture and you know it so well. People have preached it and quoted it and all of those things, but there is more to it than just how basic people make it sound. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." All right? Faith comes by hearing. So, what do I mean? We have to feed our measure so that our faith can grow. All right? The only way that faith grows is by feeding it. I've said this for years. Some of you remember me saying, whatever you feed the most grows the most. Right? Whatever you feed the most, if I feed my flesh the most, that's what's going to grow, the lust of my flesh. If I'm feeding faith into me, if I'm feeding myself the word of God, my faith is going to grow. Right? The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to feed our faith, a measure of faith, in order to get it to grow. All right? If you don't water the plant, it isn't going to grow. It'll die. Right? Everything in this life requires it to be fed. My dog needs to be fed, and he reminds me of his feeding time. I think he's a clock all on his own. And if I don't feed him, he won't live. All right? The reason that we have such a roller coaster in our walk with God oftentimes is because we're not getting that steady increase of faith, right? Because if I maintain my faith and I'm holding on and I understand that even when it gets low, I can say, God, I need that gift of faith released to me, right? Then I have that reserve tank, like my radiator, that it's released to me when I need it, and that it allows it to grow, all right? The gift of faith, the faith in itself, all right? So we've got to practice our faith. I believe this. I'm a firm believer that that we have to be a people who don't just practice faith, but we have to exercise it. We exercise everything else. That's why I'm someone that I'll challenge you and dare you and challenge you again to believe God for things. Believe God for him to show up in miraculous ways. I don't want to just pray for healing. I want you to believe that you're going to see it, that you're going to witness it, right? I want you to believe God for extraordinary things, you know, that maybe you've never witnessed in your life. And so we've got to exercise it so that our faith can grow. The only way your faith grows is if you exercise it. The only way our muscles grow is if we stretch them. The only way our faith is going to grow is if you stretch it. That's why I tell people, if you've never believed God for $20, do that. If you've seen God bless you for $20, then fine, try $200. I've been up against needs that were lots bigger than that, right? And I've believed God for it. And watched him do it. Whatever your measure of faith, believe God. Here's the thing that I've watched people try to do, and that's believe God for something when they've never really seen a miracle before. In other words, don't try to believe God for $5,000 miracle if you've never believed him for $50. Remember, the measure of faith that was given you, the Bible says. Now, that measure is going to increase, right? But it's just like you can't go to the bank and make out a withdrawal beyond what your balance is. Some of us know with that noise at the ATM and go, uh-uh. You know that noise, and then you're like, oh, man, did anybody see? Right? And that's exactly what happens in the spirit realm. We're trying to make a withdrawal to receive something that yet we don't have the faith for. And the reason that God knows we don't have the faith is because even when you're praying for it, doubt is circling in your mind. Your thoughts have changed and shifted, and you're all over the place, right? And so God wants you and I to believe him on where we are. Exercise that. Flex that muscle. Believe him for it. Amen? And then watch what he will do. We're not going to always have easy faith and faith like that all the time. There's going to be times it's going to, you know, of course it's going to fluctuate, all right? We're human beings, all right? But in other words, let me give you this example. The next time you have a headache, don't run for the ibuprofen. I'm serious. I've told people that to say, Pastor, I don't understand the kind of faith you're talking about. Then don't run to the ibuprofen or the Tylenol when you got a headache, Lois. Because why do I say that? Because a headache isn't going to hurt you. You're not going to die from it. If it's serious, go to the doctor, right? I challenge you, if you've never really believed God, then say, Lord, I got a headache, and your word says that it's by your stripes I'm healed. I'm serious, and I say this because there are people from all levels of faith that watch us online and on TV. then you believe God to heal your headache. Start with something that isn't life-threatening, is my point, all right? Start there and say, God, I believe that you're a healer. Now show me that you're a healer. I've done that. God, I read that your word, but Lord, you've got to show me that you are, because I haven't experienced that yet. I've done that. And then I've watched God show up, because that's who he is. I know that the God that we serve, you hear me use the term God, would you show up and show off? And the truth is yes, he will, because he likes to. God wants to show off to his people who he is and what's available to them. So he is not shy about performing miracles. Most Christians and churches just don't dare to believe God for them. They'll say, oh, that's not for today. Then you better read your Bible again. They won't believe God that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. Then you better read it again. All right? Because God wants to show up and show off. He wants to show you who he is. All he's waiting on is the invitation. Right? That's all he's waiting on. It's for church and churches and you and I to say, God, I believe that you're a healer. I believe that you're a miracle. I believe when you say that you desire that I prosper and be in good health, but Lord, I need you to show me this. Reveal it to me. God, I'm not going to get the ibuprofen, even though I want to. God, heal me this headache. Just before I came to church tonight, I was over Brandon Cindy's, and Hazel, when I got there, was complaining of her back, usually. She always is. And she said, Adam, will you pray for me? I said, yes. So right at the kitchen table, I just prayed for her real quick. About 20 minutes later, she was on the porch, and she started giggling. You know, with Hazel, you never know. And she begins to giggle, and she said, woo-hoo, like this, you know. And I said, what? She goes, my back's not hurting. You and I need to have that kind of faith where we'll believe God that he'll do it now. All right? Connie shared a testimony yesterday, and then I'm gonna have to close with this. She shared a testimony, and she went to the doctor after she having the virus and all of those things, had to get blood work for a number of other things that are going on in her body. And her doctor said to her, Connie, what is going on? And she said, what do you mean? And there were two health issues she was struggling with, and I can't remember the names of them now. And the name is right there. That something you just don't get healed from. You get diagnosed. It has to do with your liver. And she said, what do you mean? He said, you're... Whatever these two things were, she's not here tonight to ask. So, Connie, if you're watching online, I'm sorry. But he said, neither one of them are showing up in your blood work. And she's like, what? He said, yeah, neither one of them. He said, since you've recovered from the virus and been down sick and all these for weeks, he said, neither one of these diseases are showing up in your blood work anymore. He said, they're gone. There's no evidence that they were ever even there. You know, and so I just thought to myself, while she was recovering and being nurtured from being down and being sick, that when you dare to pray and ask God for a healing, don't just expect him to heal that one thing. You and I need to have the faith to believe God, heal me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, whatever is out of whack. You know, be specific, you know, don't be afraid to say, God, you know, I don't receive a diagnosis. When I was going through that cardiac stuff a few weeks, months ago, and they were trying to figure that out and all of that, all I could think was, I'm about to take another life flight trip. The night that they life flighted me and took me to Pittsburgh and I had my heart attack, I thought that was it. God performed a miracle. And then all of those same symptoms came back. And I thought, Lord, I am not going to go down this road again. That's what I was just sharing with you the other day. And just was believing God, and they were running tests, and like, we don't understand, and they started diagnosing this, and they said, well, you had a heart attack, we could see that, but this may be a new one. And I never forget, I was in the ER room, I looked at that doctor, I said, the devil is a liar. And he looked at me, I said, I do not receive that report. He said, well, we're going to keep you overnight for observation. I said, okay. Next morning, they did observation, they said, we're going to take you for a stress test. I said, okay. And I just said, Lord, I'm going to pass this thing, because they weren't suspecting that I would. Get up. We weren't 7 minutes in. They're like, can you still go? I said, yes, I can still go. 9 minutes in, I said, are you sure you can still go? I said, yes, I can still go. It's 10 minutes in. They said, are you sure? You're really, like, you don't have to go anymore. I said, no, I can go a little more. 12 minutes later, right? I was performing that stress test. 24 hours earlier, I could barely catch my breath. I go, all the results come back, everything comes back, and they said, you know, we think that the heart attack was an old one. We don't see anything in your blood work. And they said, all it is, you have a little inflammation around your heart. Here's some steroids. Here's some ibuprofen. Take that. We'll see you in a year. Now, you go from not breathing to inflammation. You know, inflammation just don't, you know, do that. You know, why? Because a certain level of faith that you'll believe God for. I was specific when I prayed to God. And I told him exactly what I needed. I said, God, the word says that you are not a liar. Yeah. Amen. 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 That's the God that we serve. I remind God of his word. When I pray and I tap into faith, what I've learned, the secret of getting God to move, and this is true, is I remind him of his word. That's why the Bible says he is not a man that he should lie. Oh, people lie to me all the time. Right? People lie to you. God is not a man that he should lie, right? And so when I pray, I say, God, I thank you that you're going to do this because your word says, because you told me by your stripes that I'm healed. I thank you that, Lord, you're going to do this. I thank you that that finances is on the way because your word says that you desire that we prosper and be in health. And God, I'm not going to end up unhealthy ever worrying about this. This is yours to worry about. I literally, at times, there's been times when our church struggled financially, I would tell us, gather the bills, and I'd just lay hands on them. Say, God, these are not our bills, these are yours. Now pay them. I'm not kidding you. And just wait on money to come in. A year ago, I had to go back and get the bills for over at the school building, and I said, God, we were drowning. I mean, I thought, Lord, I'm about to go belly up. I said, Lois, bring them out and put them in the offering bucket. We're going to pray over this, right? And we put those things in there, and God has moved, right? He has moved and answered prayer, right? Because I understand something. You know, I don't go create bills frivolously, but I understand something. When God calls you to do something, that he calls you not to it, but it's his bill to pay. And I hold him to his word.